Rabbi Shalom from Yerushalayim. This week's shiur will be about the topic of bar, which was covered in last week's Daf Yomi, as well as, by coincidence, in last week's Parashas Mishpatim. Just some background information on bar before we get into the actual sugya we're going to talk about on Daf Nun Gimel. If we turn to Daf, just back a little to Daf Nun Aleph on the Beis, the Gemara brings down the machlokas between, famous machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. What is exactly the chiyuv of bar, the chiyuv of a pit? Somebody falls in, somebody digs a pit in Rishus HaRabim, and we'll soon see there are also toldos, which are outgrowth subtopics of the av of bar, such as Evin, Saki, Numasa, a person who leaves an obstacle in a public place. The Samachlok is Rav and Shmuel, and Daf Nun on the Beis, what exactly is a chiva bar? Amar Rav, bar shechiva lav Torah, lahav lav lo lechavto. Alma kasavar, chavata, karka olamu, demaskele. Shmuel amar lahav lo, v'kol shekein lechavto. So, Rav understands that the entire chiva bar is not the impact that an animal that has that when it falls into a pit, doesn't stem from the impact, the injury suffered from the impact, but rather from the hevel, which I guess we'll translate as the poor air quality, the vapors in the air. I think that's the daf yomi advancement form, calling it a daf standard translation of hevel. What it means is that there's something in the boar, the poor air quality harms an animal that falls into a bar, and therefore if the shor dies, if an animal dies as a result of the fall into the bar, the person is chayv due to the injury caused not by the bar itself, by the actual base bottom of the pit, but the poor air quality in the pit. Shmuel holds that both contribute, that both the hevel as well as the impact in the base of the pit, at the bottom of the pit can contribute. And the Gemara goes on to say that there's a nafkamina, there's a practical difference. What would be if somebody builds a mound in the middle of the Rishos HaRabim? Somebody creates a pile of dirt in the middle of the Rishos HaRabim. So an animal that walks on top of it and falls, right? So according to Rav, there's no hevel, there's no vapor, no poor air quality as a result of any fall from a mound of dirt in the middle of Rishus Rabin, whereas according to Shmuel, there's of course chavata. We'll come back to this later on in the second half of the shiur and deal with this more extensively. I'd like to begin right away with the topic of our shiur, which is the Mishnah on Daf Nun Beis on the Aleph and the understanding of the Gemara that continues on Daf Nun Gimel on the Aleph. The Mishnah says, in the middle of the Mishnah, Nun Beis Omed Aleph, there's a strange case. Nafal afan of Mikol HaKriya Chayit. Le'achra of Mikol HaKriya Potter. And a shor is walking adjacent to a pit, and the pit is still being dug, or there are renovations being done inside the pit, and as a result of the digging sound, the animal gets startled and falls into the pit. So if it falls in, literal translation, forward, then it's chayv. If it falls in backwards, he's putter. Right, so it's a very odd type of case, and the Gemara is going to explain what the difference is between the two cases. The two cases, the ratio where he falls in forward, the animal falls in forward as a result of the digging, and it's seemingly the second case where he's falling in backwards, after having been startled by the sound of the digging. And we're going to see how this case leads to a combination of two, anytime you have a case of two contributing factors, two contributing mazikim, what is the din? Who's chayiv, who's pater? Are both chayiv in an equal way? The Gemara deals with this. So on the bottom of Nun Beis on the Beis, the Gemara says, Amarav, the fun of Mamish. Machlov, Achlov Mamish. Says the mission works out very smoothly according to Rav. After all, according to Rav, we recall, it's not the impact that causes the injury, it's the hevel, it's the poor air quality. So if it falls in forward, it's going to breathe in the poor heir of the pit, and therefore we can be mechayiv the bala bor. If he falls in backwards, however, it's not the poor heir quality that's going to cause any injury to the animal, but rather it's the impact, and therefore we can't be mechayiv the bala bor. Right? So this works out very nicely according to Rav. Right? Again, according to Rav, why according to Rav is the potter due to the impact? Because when you think about it, Rashi explains what the Gemara means, karka om mizikos. It means that when somebody digs a pit, he doesn't really create, doesn't have any direct contact with the bottom of the pit. That's what's left from the earth that he took out. He doesn't really touch it directly. He doesn't have any contact. It's not a mice of a dime. So he took out the dirt and left behind the bottom of the pit. So you can't be mechayim on the bottom of the pit. It's karka olam. It's land. It's the land. It's part of the earth that he never had any direct contact with. Right? Shmuel has a different understanding, of course. Shmuel understands that the Gemara, Shmuel amr bebar, so whether the animal fell in forward or backwards, it doesn't make a difference, according to Rob, to Shmuel, of course, because according to Shmuel, it's the impact that causes the damage. Shmuel etameh. So the Gemara says, how does the seifa of the Mishnah work out according to Shmuel? What does the Mishnah mean when it says that he falls in backwards, that he's chayv? So the Gemara says, kegon the niskal bebar. So it tripped over the bar, and it fell outside the bar. In other words, it tripped, so it got its foot stuck there, but it didn't actually fall into the pit. It fell outside the pit and got injured or died over there. According to Shmuel, that's the case where he's going to be potter. And we'll see exactly what that is in the second half of the shiur. Let's focus on the first case. So the Gemara says, the Gemara later on, further down on the Omid, tries to analyze the first case, where he falls in whether forwards or backwards as a result of the person, the sound of this being startled by the sound of a person digging inside the pit. The Gemara says, Omar Mar. So the Gemara says, why not say that the person digging that created the sound caused him to fall in? And that's only a grumma. So why should we blame the Bala Bor? He didn't really cause. It's not as a result of the pit that he directly fell in. The takala came about as a result of the person digging. And that's just a grumma. Sound, you can't be mechayev somebody for creating sound. If somebody yells at an animal and causes it to fall in, it's really only a grumma. We know that grumma in the Zikin, if you indirect, without actually having contact with the animal, you indirectly cause an injury or damage, you're going to be putter. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Shimi bar Ashi Hamani Rabbi Nosson, the Amar Bala bar Hezekah called the Kol Hech Vlo Efshel Ishtalumi Mehai Mishtalumi Hai. So the Gemara says, we've gotten into the machlokis of a machlokis tonight between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Nosson. Rabbi Nosson holds that any time you have an animal that falls into a pit, the owner of the pit, the person who dug the pit, whether he owns it or not, but he's responsible for the pit, he is going to be chayiv. And it doesn't make a difference how he got into the pit, it seems. Because the pit is where the actual damage occurred. That's number one. And the Gemara says that there's a second point that they argue about. The Gemara quotes the actual case that the Rabban and Rabbi Nosson argue about is a case of one ox pushing another ox into a pit. Right? And the case is, right, according to the Rabban, the ox that pushes into the pit is going to, that pushes the ox into the pit is going to be completely chayiv, since according to Rashi, he's the one who started the actual damage. The beginning of the damage occurred through the ox, whereas according to Rabbi Nosson, they both contribute equally, and therefore we're going to mechayiv the bala bor, the bala shor, as well as the bala bor. Right? That's the first point that they argue about. Then there's another significant point that the Rabban and Rabbi Nosson argue about, and that is in a situation where the bala shor is incapable, it's not chayiv to pay for his share of the damage. Right? So even though the Baal HaShor and the Baal HaBor contributed to the, they each put had their input into the act, the damage that occurred to the Shor, nevertheless, the Baal HaBor may end up having to pay more than his share because the, of the principle of Hechad Deleked Lishmul Mihai, Mishtal Mihai. Right? So the Gemara says, the Tanya Shor Shedochaf is Chaver LaBor Baal HaShor Chai, Baal HaBor Patrim. And also, but Baal HaShor Mishal Mechzo, Baal HaBor Mishal Mechzo. And the Gemara says another brayso that says that according to Rabbi Nosson, he pays three quarters. The Baal HaBor pays three quarters, and the Baal HaShor only pays one quarter. So the Gemara answers the difference would be, okay, the nafka mina is a case of muad and a case of tam. In a case where the shor is a shor muad, who is where the shor would have been, in principle had to pay the entire damage because it's already caused damage three. It's already injured or damaged three times. Therefore, they would have to pay an equal, they share an equal role in the damage, and they therefore, as well, they can be made to pay equally. However, if the shor is only a short time, meaning it hasn't damaged three times yet, and it can only be made to pay half, for half of the damage that it causes, so it comes out that the short time would only have to pay a quarter of the damage, and the Baal HaBor would have to pay for three quarters of the damage. Right. Now, before we continue with the Gemara, there's Machlokas, Rashi and Tosfos, and most of the Rishonim are against Rashi on this point, as to why the Rabbanan say that the Baal HaShor, again, when the owner of the ox that pushed the ox into the pit takes the entire blame and pays for the entire the value of the ox, depending whether it's a muad or a tam would pay half, and the Baal HaBor comes off and do it. According to Rashi, it's a svara. According to Rashi, the svara is that since he started the damage, after all, how did the ox end up in the pit? Because the other ox pushed it in. So why should the Baal HaBor have to pay? Tosfos understands, however, it's not that the Baal HaBor is completely exempt, but rather it's exeris hakosif. It says, Tosfos Baal HaShor Chai says, brings it, quotes a pasuk, the nafal shor ha-shor ha-chamor, me'atzma v'lo she'a piluhu ha-cheirin. That it's a gezeiras hakosif that a person, a Baal HaBor, a person who digs a pit can only be made to pay in a situation where if an animal falls in independently on its own, not where something else pushes it in. So it's a gezeiras hakosif. It's not that the Baal HaBor, in principle, should be exempt, but it's due to gezeiras hakosif. There's a biblical decree that exempts it. But misvara, the Baal HaBor is just as liable. Now the Gemara, Tosfos brings a proof early. Gemara, we're not going to go into it right now. There's a Gemara early. If we have time, maybe we'll come back to it. But there's a problem for the Gemara earlier in the first parak with Rashi that works out a little better according to Tosfos. Let's continue with the Gemara. Now, what is it? How can you have a situation, this case where the Baal HaBor is paying more than his share? Again, one ox pushes another ox into a pit. And they don't have to pay. They seem to play an equal role in the damage. But nevertheless, the Baal HaBor ends up having to pay more than a share. Why is that? So the Gemara tries to explain why that is. Again, in the case of Tam, the Gemara suggests two reasons. One reason the Gemara suggests is that in theory, each one of them contributed and could have killed the shor. Independently, and therefore it's as if each one killed the shor. Each one independently killed the shor. Each one kul nezegah. Each one did the entire damage was caused by each one independently. Since each one contributed equally and could have and shared blame for the entire damage, so therefore we're going to be mechayiv. We can be mechayiv each one. And there's a second svar, we'll soon see, that each one really did half. So the Gemara gives an answer for each one. The Gemara says, in the first case, each one is a situation where if we work with the assumption that each one did kul nezek of it, each one did the entire damage, so the Baal HaShor would have to pay, if he would have to pay half, he could come to the Baal HaBor and say, what did I lose? I would have had to pay half anyway. What did I gain? What did I gain by having your participation in the damage? I would have had to pay, if I would have done the damage alone, if my shor would have done the damage alone, I would have had to pay chatzi nezek anyway, so it's not fair to make me pay chatzi nezek, so I should only pay a quarter nezek, and therefore you're going to have to end up paying three quarters of the nezek, since shoot beside my hand. Right. So, what did my contribution? What did your contribution save me in the damage? That's the first answer. And then the Gemara says, if you're going to work with the assumption that each one only did half of the nezek, like each one contributed half, not that each one could have actually killed the animal, there's still a liability on the part of the Baal HaBor, because the animal, after all, is dying inside the pit. It was found dead inside the pit. So the Baal HaBor is going to share a greater degree of blame. Right? Which svara is easier to digest? So Tosfos Yalom Kosava says definitely the svara of Kula Nezek Ka'avid is much easier to digest if you assume that each one of them could have actually contributed to the full death of the Shoah, that each one actually could have, it's as if each one killed the Shoah independently, so Kula Nezek of it. So it's easy to understand how you're going to make the Baal HaBor pay more than half. However, if you're going to say Palka Nezek of it, each one only did half, the Reis says it's very difficult to understand how you can make him pay more than his share. It doesn't sound fair. So in the end, the Reis says that clearly the Gemara is working with the understanding that Pagan is Ga'avad, and therefore he says the Svara that since it actually the Nezik actually occurs in the Bo'ah, the impact, even though the Shoah pushed it, the bottom line is the death of the Shoah, the injury of the Shoah occurs as a result of the impact in the Bo'ah. So it's as if the bar inside the bar. So it's if the bar does the entire nezek. It's ge'ilah. He says lashon is mishum shegmar hezek v'doma kimisha asal kula mina ki lek lishlemin balashah mishdala mi balashah. So therefore, since it's as if he did the entire nezek, again the dead ox is being found inside the pit. Therefore, we say since we cannot collect from the balashah. The Baal HaShoah is only chai. He only did half the nezek. He can only be made to pay a quarter nezek. Again, we're talking about a short time. A short time's liability is only for half of whatever damage he causes. And he only was responsible for half of the value of the shor, and he can only be made to pay for half of that half, which is one quarter. So you're left with three quarters of the value of the shor. So Tosfos says that basically that Rabbi Nosson is saying that because it's viewed as if the damage, the bulk of the damage was done by the poor, we can hit the Baal HaBor with the remainder of the bill. So it comes out, according to the way we understand the Gemara over here, that Rabban and Rabbi Nosson, just to sum up, Rabban and Rabbi Nosson are arguing about two points. Number one, they're arguing about whether or not an ox bears the brunt of the responsibility, or the entire responsibility, the prime cause, the actual what led to the animal being in the pit. That's what the Rabban held. And Rabbi Nosson says, no, they share equal blame, it seems. And then finally, the second point is, in a situation where the partner in the damage cannot be made to pay his share of the bill, can we make the Baal HaBor pay the remainder of the bill? So at this point, it would seem that, according to Rabbi Nosson, this is a din that's unique to the bar. Right? Since the animal was found inside the bar, we'll hit the Baal HaBor with the remainder of the bill. The test case, of course, according to this, is a case that the Gemara brings a little later on, which we're going to see in a minute. The Gemara says, on the bottom of Nun Gimel Lamed Aleph, the Gemara brings a case of two oxes that gore together. Right? Two oxes that gore an animal, a third ox, let's say, together, where one of the oxen is a shor psulei mekdashin, a shor that was a mechor, according to the Baha'i quote in Tosfos, it was an ox that was a firstborn ox that was not yet redeemed, and therefore, since it has a din of hegdish, we know that, from earlier in the Masechta, that ki yigof shor ish es shoriyehu, that the only time an ox can be made to, the owner of an ox can be made to pay for its damages in a situation where it's not a shor, one of the cases is must be a shor ish, not a shor shel hegdish, not a shor that belongs to the base of mikdash, not that belongs to that's kodesh. So therefore, a shor that's besim mikdash is a din of hegdish. It's a firstborn shor. Therefore, he's going to be exempt. So here we have a test case to apply the principle that we just derived of the second principle of Rabbi Nosson, namely that of hechad leked b'shul nihai mishtal nihai. Is it a din unique to bar or not? Rabbi Nosson says no. Rabbi says according to Abai and Ravina both give different interpretations of this brisa. The Gemara says on the top of the Nun Gimel on the day, Shor v'shor p'sev mikdashim shenokhu, Abai on Mishal and Chatzin Ezek, Ravina on Mishal and Ravina Ezek. The Gemara gives different understandings, but it comes out either way, according to Ravina, the Baal HaShor, the Baal HaShor Hedyot is going to have to pay not one quarter, it's a short time, it's going to have to pay one half, if it's a short time. So why is he going to be made to pay for the other shore's share of the nezek? So Tosis on the base deals with this question again. If we're going to say that the remainder of the bill that we can be make a part in a situation where two mazikim contribute to damage, they damage together, and one of the two partners is going to be exempt for one reason or another, as in the earlier case, we had a case of a shor tam, that only has to pay half nezek. Here we're talking about a case where a shor is entirely exempt, because it's a shor of hevdish. So, based on the svar that we said earlier, you cannot make the second partner, who has to pay the other partner's bill, unless it's a bar, it's something unique to bar. So Tosfos confronts this problem on the base, and he says that therefore this Gemara that assumes that the din of Rabbi Nosson that would place the brunt of the payment upon one partner in a situation where the second partner is exempt can only be working with the assumption that each of the two partners is liable for the entire damage that's caused. Because if they're only liable for half, each is only liable for half, it's not fair. You have no swara to place the remainder of the bill on the part of the other shore owner, the other owner of the ox. After all, he only did half the nezek. How are you going to make somebody pay for more than the nezek? So it says, you must be working according to the swara that that kula nezekah, kula aved, the kula aved. Each one did caused the entire damage. Okay, so that's the assumption of the Gemara at this point, according to Tosfos. Okay, there's another case that is dealt with earlier in the Gemara that leads us to what I'd like to talk about in the second half of the shiur, which is the case of Niskal ve'Eben. Gemara says on the bottom of Blum Gimel Lamed Aleph, Hineach Eben al Pia Bar, Voshav and Niskal Bar, and Nafal Bar, Bonam and Machlokas, Rabbi Nosson and Rabbanan. If a person left a rock, and as a result of the rock next to a bar, the person, an animal, tripped over the rock and ended up in the bar. So once again, Gemara says this is the machlokas Rabban Rabbi Nosson. According to the Rabbanan, the Baal HaEvan is entirely chayiv. That's considered an act. He's created a takala. And we said that a Evan sakin uvasa, a stone or any type of obstacle that a person leaves, you know, a public place that a person can trip over, is considered a told of bar, and he's going to be considered responsible. And that's how the shore got in there. After all, that's how the shore fell in as a result of the stone. It was according to Rabbi Nosson. The Baal HaBor shares equal one, based on the earlier principle. Okay. What about a case where can you have a situation where two mazikin contribute to an injury, and neither are going to be chayv? Well, the Gemara back on Nun Amud Beis talks about a case of coming back to the case of the mound in Rosh HaSarabim. The Gemara talks about the Gemara said earlier that there's a nafkamina between Rav and Shmuel. What would be in a case where somebody builds a mound in Rishus Rabbah, and somebody falls off the mound. So according to Shmuel, since it's his chayv rabbah, they're going to Rabbi's be pater. Tosfos tries to understand where exactly is the animal falling. Right? The animal's, let's say, tripping over the mound in the Rishus Rabbah, but where is he falling? Is he falling outside the mound? Is he falling on the ground that's karka olam? Or not? So this is a question that Tosfos deals with, because we're, after all, the second half of the Mishnah that we started off with, under the Beis Amud Aleph, talks about this case of a person falling backwards. According to Shmuel, a person who falls backwards in Rishus Harabim, Tosfos understands, doesn't mean literally falls backwards. The Gemara understands that, according to Shmuel, doesn't mean literally the guy fell backwards. It means that he tripped over the bar and fell onto Karka Olam. He fell onto the ground that was public ground that had nothing to do with the bar. So how can you be mechayev the Baal HaBar if he fell on public ground? So Tosfos says, if that's so, then how exactly, according to Shmuel on Daf Nun on the base, is a mound in Rishus Rabbim going to obligate the person who built the mound to pay for any damages that occur as a result of somebody tripping over the mound? Again, because we're dealing with a person that trips over the mound, falls on the ground outside the mound. The person didn't have anything to do with, the person who put the mound there didn't have anything to do with that ground. That ground is public property, it's public land. So Tosfos at first wants to say, comes up with a creative solution to the problem. He says we're talking about a mound that is half mound and half pit. He dug a mound 5 tefachim high, and he dug a pit 5 tefachim low around that mound. So he's actually falling into a pit. So he solves the problem that way. According to Rav, there's not enough bad air there to cause the damage. The impact is going to be inside the pit that he dug. In the second half of Tosfos is mechadish a major chiddush. Tosfos says that when you think about it, a bar, in principle, has really two components. Anytime an animal falls into a bar, he's falling, he's tripping, he's falling, and the second stage is the impact and the damage caused as a result of the impact. So there's the takala, right? This you'll find in any bar, you'll find takala, and you'll find the fall, right? As anytime a person falls, there's a trip, there's a machshil, a takala, and you have the actual impact, the fall where the injury is sustained. So Tosfos says a big chiddush. Tosfos says, in the case where he built the mound in Rishus Rabbim 10 tefachim high, and the animal dies as a result, and the person could be liable for the person who built the mound there is going to be held responsible for the mound, because he created the entire takala, right? But even though the impact is outside the bar that he created, outside on the land, but he created an entire takala. The only time a person can be made held responsible is if he created either the entire takala, or he made the place, he created the place where the animal fell. So, in the case of the mound, he created the entire takala, he created the entire stumbling block, the obstacle. Whereas in the Mishnah, on Daf Nun Beis, as explained by the Gemara, Daf Nun Gimel, where Nafl Achrav Mikol HaKrita, where the animal tripped over a bar but fell outside the bar, as a result of the kol hakriya. So the bar is not really, the Baal HaBar is not entirely responsible for the kola, because the takala was done together with the person digging the bar, the kora, the kora, the sound. Again, the sound of the bar being dug startles the animal, and then the animal trips over the bar and falls outside the bar. So since the stumbling did not occur entirely as a result of the Baal HaBar, we cannot hold the Baal HaBar responsible, since the hezek is occurring outside the bar. Only when he creates the entire takala, only when the entire takala, the tripping, the stumbling occurs entirely as a result of his act. Tosfos, however, in an earlier study in the third parak, disagrees with this opinion. There's a case earlier on Daf Chof Ches on the base in Perek HaMeniach where Tosfos seems to go with the first opinion. Tosfos, the Gemara there talks about the situation. Another Tolda of Bor, the Mishnah, and Dav Chof Hesamad Aleph. Nishbor Kadu Vishus Rabim Chuchlak Echod B'mayim. Common case. Person spilled, was walking along and spilled some water. Another person comes along and falls as a result of the water that the person left. Ezichai B'patas, the Gemara says, he's chayv. And the Gemara says, it's machlok, it's Rav and Shmuel. Why exactly is the guy chayiv when he falls? According to Rav, he's chayiv because it can't be made to be chayiv since it's since the person is falling on the ground. So the reason why he's chayiv is a case of shor. We won't get into Rav. Where Shmuel says that it's a case of bar. As a result of the fall, according to Shmuel, he's falling as he's tripping on the water. He's slipping on the water and falling on the ground. So this seems to be exactly a parallel case to what we're talking about. A person is tripping as a result of Mantakala, but he's the impact, right? The slip is occurring. Let's break down the bore case again. Over here, the person slipping on the water, but he's falling outside as the impact is occurring outside the Takala. So we've broken the Takala down and the Nezek down. So the Takala occurs as a result of the water, right? The fall, whereas the actual impact occurs later on out at Karka Olam. So according to Shmuel, sounds like he's right. Tosfos says that it must be that he's talking about a case where the person fell on the area on the ground. The impact occurred as a result of the ground underneath the water. And it's only then that we can chayiv him, because if the person fell outside the area of the water, he slipped and then he went a few feet further beyond there and fell on the ground, then it's karka olam. That would be akin to the case of the Mishnah. So you see, Tosfos over here, Tosfos understands that for the responsibility of the kala alone is not sufficient to be mechayiv the Baal HaBor. And the Gemara talks about this later on as well. The Gemara talks about this on Chav Ches, Amid Beis. The Gemara continues and talks about a case of Hitiachs Luchiso Be'evin Chai, where a person left a rock in Rishus HaRabim, and as a result of the rock, the stone that a person left in Rishus HaRabim, a person damaged a kli, or hurt himself. So the Gemara, according to one opinion, Rabbi Elazar understands this brisa according to the Rabbanon, and according to the other opinion, it works according to Rabbi Nassim. But since we hold the Rabbi Nassim, so let's try to understand what Rabbi Elazar says according to Rabbi Nassim. So if a person is walking and trips on the stone, and the noshuf be'evin, the animal niskal be'evin, the noshuf be'evin, and gets injured as a result of having had contact, having fallen on the stone. So according to the Gemara B'chayiv. What about where he's niskal be'evin, noshuf be'evin? The Gemara says he's certainly chayiv, but niskal be'kakav, noshuf be'evin, he would also be chayiv, where he tripped on the karka and he fell on the rock. What would that be parallel to that case? Person, again, he's walking on the ground, he slipped on the ground for whatever reason, and fell on the rock. He didn't fall as a result of the rock. So you have, a takala was not here as a result, but the actual impact alone did occur on the effort. So according to the Gemara, if you're going to say that he's going to be chayiv, that can only be according to Rabbi Nosson, because according to Rabbi Nosson, we don't care how he ended up in the bar. The fact that the person's property is injured, is damaged by impacting on the rock that you left in Rishus HaRabim, is sufficient to cause you to be liable for the entire damage. So when you think about it, we're talking about a case, a person slipped on land, public property, and fell on a rock that a person that you left there in Rishus HaRabim, you shouldn't have left there. So even though the tripping aspect, the tripping component, was not your responsibility, belonged to somebody else. It belongs to nobody, it's public property. Nevertheless, the owner of the stone, quote unquote, the person who left the stone, Shesarabim, is going to be made responsible and liable for the entire damage that occurs. So Tosfos says over here, unlike the Tosfos that we saw earlier, Tosfos says that what would be the case of Gemara neglects a third possibility. What would be a situation where a person tripped over the rock and fell on the ground, on the ground that's public property, and damaged his property, according to Rabbi Yehuda, where we chai for Canaan, or let's say we're talking about a shore walking over here that tripped over a rock and fell on public property. Would he be chai there? Again, the rock is the takala, but not the mazik, not the hezek. The nezek is occurring on the public property. What would be the case over there? So by neglecting to mention this case, Tosfos understands that the Baal HaBor would certainly be potter. Why? Because even though he was responsible for the takala, he's not responsible for the hezek. So going back to what we mentioned earlier on Daf Nun Amud Beis, Tosfos seems to disagree with the big chiddush that he said on Daf Nun, that it's enough to hold the Baal HaBor responsible in a situation where he only created the takala. Just like to take a look at the Rambam. Where does the Rambam stand on this position? This question about whether or not the Baal HaBor can be held responsible in a situation where he caused the takala but did not cause the nezek. See, according to what Tosfos is saying, just to sum up, Tosfos, in one opinion, in the earlier opinion that we saw, the big chiddush that Tosfos is saying is that even though an animal trips as a result of an obstacle that you put there and doesn't get injured on the obstacle you put there, gets injured on the floor, trips over a bar and gets injured outside the bar, you would still be held, the Baal HaBor would still be held responsible for that since he did the entire takala. It's enough that he does either the entire takala, and certainly we've seen earlier, according to Rabbi Nassim, that he does the entire hezek. And he didn't do the takala, somebody else did the tripping for him, we know for sure. But where he doesn't, the only component that he contributes to is the tripping. And the impact occurs outside the takala. Tosfos earlier says that that would be sufficient to obligate the Baal HaBor as a takala. And according to Rav Soloveitchik, that is under the weight. According to this opinion, the Ikar Mechayev of Bar seems to be the Takala. Whereas Tosfos over here on Daf Chav Ches Amud Beis rescinds that opinion and seems to work with the understanding that Bar is like all other Mazik, and it's not enough to just be a Takala. The Mechayev must be the Mazik as well. The Bar has to be Mazik as well. It's not enough that it led to the injury, but it actually, the injury occurred on the bar itself, on the takala itself. Let's take a look at the Rambam. Does he hold like the first opinion or the second opinion? So when he quotes the case of the mound, also, in Perek Yud Beis, in Hilchos Nizkei Mamon, Halacha Tetzvav, the Rambam says, also tel gavoa v'rishus harabim, v'nech v'dobo ha-behem o'meso, im ho'yigo asar t'vachim chayiv v'shalim. So the Lashon of the Rambam definitely leans towards the second explanation. Again, he says, also tel gavoa v'rishus harabim, v'nech v'dobo ha-behem o'meso. The animal got injured on the mound itself. It sounds like it got injured on, had well, gotten injured on the mound itself. If it fell off the mound, tripped on a mound of dirt and fell over the mound onto ground that's public property, it would not be sufficient to obligate the Baal HaTakola. And again, this is borne out, it seems to be borne out more clearly later on in Perek Yud Gimel, Halacha Gimel, where he talks about the toldos of Bar. The Rambam says, Ketzat, Hamimiach Avno, O Sakino, O Masao, O Tivno, Vikasho, Kiyasim and Rishus Rabbim, who's a man, Bein Adam, Bein Behem, Chayiv Nezek Shalom, Chayiv Minicham, Rishus Avivki, Rishus Vodkim. Niskal, the second half of the Lach, he says, Niskal, Bekarka, Benechbat, Bitakola, Zu, Vuhusakba, Chayiv Baal Takola. If a person tripped on the ground and sustained an injury on this obstacle, then he's going to be chayv. The Musku Kalim Cholelu or Niftnafu Potter talks about the din of Kalim. So he only quotes the case according to the second answer that we saw in Delsis, of getting the injury, the mazik, the boar, the takala, doing the damage itself. It's not enough that it trips, but the damage must occur on the takala itself. There's a machlokas at the end of the fifth parak. There's a machlokas between the Baal Amar and the Ramban about this case. The Baal Hamar says that Hiniach Evan al Piabo Voshar, it's on Daf Chav Gimel on the Beis in the Dapi Arif. The Baal Hamar says, I'm Rabbi Hiniach Evan al Piabo Voshar, and it's called Benachem, Bonachem, Machlis, Benachem. So, what about he says that he's Chayv, according to Rabbi Nasan. And he touches up the Mishnah that says Nofel Achov Mikola Kriya Potter. It doesn't mean that he's Potter Lagami, that he fell backwards, meaning that he tripped over the bar and fell on the Kaka Olam. According to the Baal Amar, Potter Minezek Shalim, but he's still Chayiv Chatzi Nezek. So according to the Baal Amar, you can still be Mechayiv him for his share. So the Baal Amar says that we're working with the assumption. The Baal Amar says we're working with the assumption that each of the mazikim is understood to have contributed to half of the nezek, half of the damage that occurs, and therefore the bar did contribute to the person, to the animal tripping over the bar and falling outside the bar. So he's going to be made to pay for his half of the damage being done. So here is a third opinion. We've seen two opinions in Telsa so far about whether or not the situation where a person creates an obstacle that causes one to trip and the damage occurs outside that obstacle, that is not directly as a result of the obstacle, the tripping, the falling component is done by a person that can be held responsible, but the impact, the actual damage occurs outside that obstacle. According to the Baal Amar, he can be made to pay for half of the damage, because unlike what we saw in Tosfos earlier, that the Gemara seems to be working, preferring the first answer, that each one contributed, could have killed the animal alone, each one kula nezikava. He says that really the Maskana Gemara is palgan nezikava, each one really does half, and he's being made to pay for his half. How does that work out in the Gemara? Well, the problems that Tosfos had in earlier, so it seems that the Baal Amar must be saying that in a case of bar, we can actually work with the assumption that each one did half and still make him responsible for the entire nezek, since they perhaps using the svar that Tosfos used, that if the animal is found, the second half of the injury is inside the bar, the actual injury occurred in the bar, rather. So it's Ki'ilu, he did the whole thing. So perhaps over there we would say Palgan Israel, but whereas if you have two oxen, two shvarim, that gored, in that case it would be very hard to mechayev one shor with the assumption that he only did Palgan Israel. Well, that since each one seems to be contributing equally, and it's very hard to place the entire blame on the shor. Head yelped and haven't paid the entire bill. The Ramban disagrees strongly with the Baal Amar and insists, seems to come out like Tosfos, the first opinion of Tosfos, we saw that the Baal HaBor should really be chayiv nezek shalom. And he brings a proof from a Gemara later on Nun Gimel Amud Beis. We have another permutation, another possibility of contributing mazikin. Gemara says, what would be a case where you have a person and an ox that push an ox into a bar? What would be the case there? Or let's say push a person into a bar. What would be the case there? So the Gemara says, what would be a situation where an ox and a human being, and another human being push another human being into a pit, and the guy sustains injuries. Right? So, we all know, from this week's parasha, that a person's chayiv to pay four things when a person injures another human being. You have to pay, in addition to the actual damage, you have to pay tsar, ripui, sheves, boshes. So, the only one that can be made to pay that is the human being, the person that has made his share and has contributed to the injury that occurs. Well, let's say if the person dies, kofar. So, the Ramban insists that you see from here, in a situation where you cannot be mechayev the Baal HaShor to pay for kofar or for the Dalet Dvarim, the Gemara in no way indicates that the Adam is chayev to pay half kofar, chatzi kofar, or chatzi tzar, chatzi shev, is all these things. So the Ramban takes this Gemara, wants a proof of this Gemara, in a situation where one is chayev, only one of the two contributors, of the two partners in damage is chayev, the other one is exempt, that we're working with the assumption that each one kulin is a gavur, kulin is not palgan is gavur, each one kulin is gavur, each one. It's as if each one did the entire nezek. And therefore, you cannot come up with this chatzi nezek. His understanding of the Gemara, the Baal HaMor's understanding of the Gemara, Daf Nun Gimel, doesn't fit with this Gemara over here. Because again, the Baal HaMor is understanding the Gemara, Daf Nun Gimel is saying even though the Gemara seems to be saying pater, it just means pater from chatzi nezek. When an ox tripped over a bar and fell on karka olam, it doesn't mean to say that the Baal HaMor is going to be pater, because the Gemara there is working with the assumption that a high palgan is gavur. So it's only chayv for his share. The Ramban says no. The Gemara is definitely working with the assumption kulin is gavur, because we see that in a case where a human being and an ox push another human being into a pit, the human being, the person, is going to be made to pay in entirety for the injury sustained by the person that fell into the bar. I saw it brought down in the name of Rav Soloveitchik, an answer for the Baal HaMor. I'd just like to say it. He understood that it could be that there's a major difference between bar and the case of a person and a shor causing an injury. Because in a case where a bar, it could be if when a person falls, when a person dies in a bar, right? Again, the something that we have to reiterate is that a shor v'lo adam, chamor v'lo kelim. The Torah says that if a human being falls into a pit and he gets injured, he's going to be chayav. However, if he dies, it's shor v'lo adam, chamor v'lo kelim. So if a person dies in a pit, he's not going to be, the Baal HaBor is not going to be responsible. So if he's chayiv, to say that a person is chayiv kofar shalim in the pit isn't necessarily, again, when a person and an ox and a pit contribute to the death of a human being, it may not be comparable to the case of a person tripping over a pit, an ox tripping over a pit and falling outside the pit. Because a pit, in a situation where a pit contributes to damage and causes the death of a person, the din of shor v'lo adam is mafkia, not just the chiyuv to pay, but it's mafkia the shein mazik in its entirety. Right? It's not just that there's an exemption for the Baal HaBor that the Baal HaBor is exempt from having to pay when a person dies in a bar. It's a complete cancellation of the any din of mazik. He's not called a mazik when a person dies in his bar. The Torah completely it's not just an exemption from payment, but it's a complete nullification and cancellation of the status of an object, of property that's causing damage. So you can't really compare it, the din of kofar, he says, to the din of a shor that trips over a bar and falls outside the bar. There, it could very well be that the Baal HaBor is going to be made the balabor is going to be considered pal gemizga avad. Again, the reason why the adam is being made to pay the entire nezek is because the balabor there is not really a contributor to the death of the human being. So therefore, we can be mechayiv the baal, the human being that pushed somebody into a bar in its entirety, even though, in principle, a bar only causes half nezek. Here, the bar is not at all contributing to the human being. So you would have expected, even though you might have thought that the human being should only be held half responsible, that's only in a situation where the bar actually participates and contributes half its half share of the nezek. But in a case where a human being dies, it's not considered to be a contributor in any way to the death of the human being. So that's the answer that Rav Soloveitchik tried to give to the bar, to the kasha of the Ramban on the Baal Hamor. Just end with some practical applications of this are brought down in the Hagos Maimonias in Hilchos Niskei Mamon, Perik Yigimel, Os Gimel. The Baal, the Hagos Maimonias, quotes the Maharami Wittenberg, who says that based on this principle of Hechad Lekel Lishalum Mihai, Shalom Mihai, Mishal Mihai, is applicable in a situation where you have two people who are masters somebody's money. Let's say somebody, a guy is coming to collect taxes, and two Jews say, "Oh yeah, this guy's got a lot of money hidden under his bed. You can find it over there, right?" So what about a situation over there where two people contribute, and one of the people is incapable of paying his share? Would you place more of the share on the second person? That's a possible application of this case over here.